This is comedian Adam Grabowski, and you're listening to the Podcast of Thousands. Don't worry, I won't be using this inflection when you listen. I talk like a normal person, so I'll talk like a real person in it. Just don't worry about that. Stay tuned!
Hey, yo, you are listening to the Podcast of Thousands. Late night talk, showcasing performers, and last time, with zero the budget. Here's your host, Mikey P.
Welcome, everyone. I'm your host, Michael Panessa, and this is the Podcast of Thousands, where we showcase performers from actors to YouTubers and everything in between. On tonight's show, we'll have guest comedian Adam Grabowski.
This is real. I took a girl out to dinner before. And for dessert, she got salted caramel creme brulee.
Did you just freaking hear yourselves? How many of you just had a food perv moment?
You're like, oh yeah.
I saw a girl over there slide down in her chair. She almost slipped and slid out of her chair at the thought of the food. You ladies are a bunch of food pervs.
And music by rock band The Extended Play. But first,
roasted spam.
Does anyone review their spam folder on a regular basis? I thought I would and see what humor comes out of it. Why should the hard work of all the world's spammers go unroasted? Here we go. This first one's from Miss Christian, not Kristen, Nielsen. And she wants me to text her. I'm guessing it's a woman. I'm contacting you regarding a special cargo that has been abandoned here at our warehouse in Washington, lowercase, D.C. International Airport for over a period of 2 years. And when scanned, it revealed an undisclosed sum of money in it. So after our discovering, we decided to break the box. And we realized the box, capital T, contained $8.5 million. All for me if I just text her. I'm very grateful. Next up, dear beneficiary is the subject. And this is from Mr. Bernard, who has a Japanese email address, it looks like, .jp. Congrats. Your email ID has won you a prize sum of 1000,000.00. Looks like it should be a million. U.S. dollars in the 2018 Coca-Cola Company promo. Nice. Next one. Attention, please, is the subject. I just received an email from Mr. Benjamin Keel, the director of New Idea Courier Company, that the ATM card valued the sum of, get this, $2.5 million, which I sent to you was returned back due to wrong address. Oh no! They must have my old address. They need the reconfirmation of the following informations. Then they list a bunch of stuff that they want me to send them. Ah, here we go. They will require you to pay for international delivery, permit certificate fee. Please don't hesitate. Pay it immediately, so they will recommend the shipment and also forward your tracking information to you. Just send me a brief email as soon as you receive the shipment. Awesome. Okay, this next one's good. Here. This next one's from the Federal Bureau of Investigation. For those of you who don't know, that's the FBI. But it too has an odd email address. It has a Singapore email address. It's very odd coming from the FBI. We sincerely apologized for sending you this sensitive information via email instead of a certified mail, postmail, phone, or face-to-face conversation. It is due to the urgency and importance of the security information of our citizenry. I am Special Agent Frank Williams from the Federal Bureau of Investigation, all lowercase, FBI, also lowercase, Intelligence Unit, We have just intercepted and confiscated two, trunk box at JFK Airport in New York, all capitalized correctly, and are on the verge of moving it to our bureau headquarters. Two words, headquarters. We scanned the said box and found it contains total sum of $4.1 million. I need one of those scanners. How do you scan something and determine how much money is in it? I would check every box, much like they're doing. You're required to reply to this letter within 72 hours, or you will be arrested, interrogated, and prosecuted in the court of law for money laundering. Huh. Okay. Too bad this went to my spam folder. I don't think I replied in time. Still here, though. Still here. Not podcasting from jail. Let's see. Final one. Regarding Dear Sir, Madam, your prayers have been answered. What would be roasted spam without one from the Lord? The United States Embassy has resolved on a diplomatic mission to Nigeria. A lot of stuff coming out of Nigeria. On behalf of scam victims, to be compensated after Economic and Financial Crime Commissioner arrested some fraudsters. Fraudsters. That'd be a cool band name. The Fraudsters. In Nigeria, who mentioned your name and email as one of their victims of circumstances. Note that after meeting with President Muhammadu Buhari, which is real, of the Federal Republic of Nigeria and other House of Representative members, World Bank, United Nations, and an International Monetary Fund representatives, we all agreed that we will compensate you with $5 million only. I was very much annoyed when I discovered that you have paid so much money yet you have never received your funds. That is why I decided to help you. Okay, so this wasn't as religious as the subject stated. But somebody, I'm sure, has fallen for one or all of these. Remember, everyone, spam exists because people fall for it. And now I'd like to welcome our guest, comedian Adam Grabowski. Welcome to the show, Adam.
Hello. Hola.
Hola. Are you there? Hola. Where are you calling from? Mexico?
No, you called me. But yes, I am in Mexico. You know why? Because Southwest flies here, and that's why I'm in Cancun. Yeah, I ended up actually staying longer than I was supposed to because I didn't realize. I had forgotten that the rental car place was a little bit off-site. So if I were to drop off my vehicle and then take the shuttle to the airport a couple days ago, I would have ended up being late. And then it was half price to stay a couple more days. So now I'm still here.
Nice.
But yay, I go back to Albany tomorrow morning. So the opposite.
Albany, New York.
Mexico weather. Yes.
Birthplace of yours truly. They're definitely having a bad storm right now. Cold weather out there. So good luck with that.
I was up in New York. One of my college shows canceled because of snow. It wasn't even that bad.
Wow, East Coast, they canceled a show for snow. That's got to be bad.
I know. That's rare. I was in Tennessee before, and I didn't have the show canceled, but 2 days before my show, they had two snow days at University of Tennessee Chattanooga, and it didn't even snow. It was just going to be below 25 degrees, and they thought it might snow, so they had snow days. Like, if you're in the Northeast, if you were to have a snow day every day you thought it might potentially snow, there would be 3 days that you'd be open. You know what I mean? Like, if you'd have orientation and then graduation. That's it.
You live in L.A. If it got dropped down, if it dropped down to that cold, things would shut down around here, too.
No, if it drizzles, things shut down.
That's true.
People are so confused. They'll be like, I don't want to go out. The weather's bad. I'm like, what is wrong with you? I'm not really in LA that much. My apartment's there, but I'm always on the road.
Nice. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about why did you get started in stand-up?
I did not know what to go to grad school for. So
what'd you graduate in?
University of Illinois, I got a degree in psychology and sociology, and I finished a semester early, and I didn't know what to do, and I wasn't sure you can't just like generically go to grad school. So while trying to figure all that stuff out, I was like, let me try comedy. So I call it productive procrastination. You know, where you like do all your laundry because you have a paper due, or figure something else out rather than, you know, figuring out your life. And that ended up becoming my life. So yeah, by the time it was time to apply to grad school, I had already been doing comedy as a job. So
did you jump right into doing college shows?
Yeah, so I was 21 when I started comedy, and then I was touring a little bit by 22. So I've been doing this a long time.
600 college shows.
Yeah.
You obviously like doing them. What is it about the college shows that you like so much?
See, my favorite part is when there's a million buildings and the signs aren't well posted. So I get to show up there and try to figure out which one is the theater or which one is the student union. That's my favorite part. When I just try to have to figure out what building I'm supposed to be in every day of my life. Actually, I'm joking, but I've gotten good at it. No, but I've gotten good at it. No, the reason why I like college shows is here. Let me break down a difference. There are many amazing people that go to comedy clubs, but from some of my experiences in comedy clubs, they require drinking minimums, and a lot of times it's couples that may or may not have gotten a babysitter. So they got a babysitter for the night and they're drinking. They don't want to exactly learn or think deeply or maybe be progressive in their speech. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, like, you know, we talk about dad fashion. The reason why dads wear the same clothes from 20 years ago is because once you were born, they stopped buying clothes for themselves and they just kept buying stuff for you because you kept growing out of the shit, which is why I never get down on dads for dad fashion, because it somehow worked. I mean, they made you after all, so it at least seduced one person. Anyway, point being, I like a more progressive, sober audience, and that tends to be what I get. So I get more time with my college students and at my college shows than if I were at a comedy club, and we get to go a little deeper than you're supposed to at a traditional comedy club.
Deeper, like intellectually, or?
Yeah, deeper intellectually, deeper into any subject matter. I talk about mental health quite a bit, or even things such as sexuality, consent, why we experience the emotions that we feel, whatever it may be. We can get deeper into the topics.
And you performed in over 47 states, is that right?
Yeah, it'll be 48. I have Alaska coming up.
No way.
Yeah, but you got to guess which two I don't have.
You got to have Hawaii, right?
I do have Hawaii.
You have Hawaii. Idaho? No, Idaho College.
No?
Idaho College.
No, Idaho. It's like right on my website. It says I'm going to University of Idaho. No, it's New Mexico and Mississippi.
Mexico and Mississippi. Why not?
I don't think they have as many colleges as the other states. That's not shade.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think that many people would be upset if I said Mississippi is not known for its colleges, sure, or academia, but
Mississippi State.
I just don't think there are as many. Yeah, there's a couple big ones. There's Ole Miss and Mississippi State, but I don't know many of the other, you know, smaller private or state colleges other than those two.
Yeah.
Worst education system, longest name. That's Mississippi.
What's the biggest college you've performed at?
I've been to many of the like Big Ten schools. Do you mean biggest audience I've had or biggest university? Because I've been to some of the universities that have like 60,000 students.
Biggest auditorium?
1,500.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, there's something to say about the no two drink minimum there and going just to go enjoy the humor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I get people that didn't know they were going to go see a comedy show. That's also fun.
What do you mean?
Like, there's some people that go because their friends told them to.
This is going on tonight. Let's go to it. All right. I'm not doing anything else.
Yeah.
Right, right. One of your friends is Jacob Williams, right? Comedian Jacob Williams?
Yeah. Robot and comedian Jacob Williams. Yes.
Very emotional guy. Very emotional.
He's hilarious. He plays the straight man because he always plays the straight man. Like, monotone. Oh yeah, at first I thought he was like, a while ago I thought Jacob was being rude, you know, because I'd be like, I would say something exciting and he would be like, oh cool, yeah, and I thought he was being like an asshole to me. Yeah. And I'm like, oh no, that's him, that's just how he reacts. Yeah, he's just like he just reacts like a file opening on a computer. But no, he's great.
How'd you two meet?
You know, his roommate is a mentalist. And he also, Jade was also working with Matt Franco, who won America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
Matt Franco did a lot of college work before he did that. So I've gotten to know Jacob through the college market and through Eric Dittleman, my friend who's a mind reader, or Matt Franco. And then I've gotten to see him a couple times. He stayed by me in LA before I've stayed by his place in New York.
Have you seen Matt Franco's show in Vegas?
I did. I saw it before it came out, right after he won. And it was great because he kept some of the aspects that he used to do in his show that he toured colleges, but it's just on a bigger scale.
I took my wife to Vegas and we saw it. I was trying to line an interview up with him before we went out there, but we go out to Vegas so much. If I ever do, I'll definitely go try to meet up with him. Yeah, it was a great show. Great show.
Well, he's just very personable, and he used to book himself. So it's not somebody that's a diva. He's not somebody that like isn't humble about it, because when you do the college market, you know, you don't know if you're going to be in a theater for 500 people or you're going to be in a cafeteria for like 30. So you have to be flexible and also humble, because you don't know what's going to happen. And not everybody knows that they're exactly coming there to see you. But then by the end, they end up loving you. I don't know. He's just a hardworking guy, and that really worked out for him. So that's a cool story.
Yeah. Let's talk about what you guys all have in common. America's Got Talent.
No, I said it was our friendship. That was the thing we had in common.
The second thing you have in common.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
So America's Got Talent.
America has got talent.
After your first performance, Mel B said she thoroughly belly laughed. Howie Mandel said you're really funny. You should be proud. Simon Cowell said you were the funniest one. After all that, in front of all those people, how does that high feel when that happened? How does that
feel? It's great, but you also don't know if they're going to show it on TV.
Okay.
You can't be excited.
But doing it, you didn't realize that when you were performing, right? Or did you know that from other people?
No, I knew that because I did the show 4 years ago and then they never aired it. That's how I knew it. Because I had the high once before and then it never came on TV. So that's how I learned. Don't get excited.
Oh, and this was another time you were on a second time?
Yeah.
Got it.
Because I did it. I did it like 4 years ago. And so when I did it back then, it was in Chicago and it was great. And it was the auditions, and Howard was a little bit on the fence. This is when Howard Marks turns on.
Yeah.
And then I said something funny and I did a joke that they at the end that they didn't expect to happen. And then they're like, okay, we're passing you through. And like everybody cheered because I'm from Chicago. And then they recorded my family like celebrating with me, and then it just didn't happen.
All right. That stinks.
Okay.
Let's talk about this time.
Okay.
So were you up there and even though you got a lot of laughs and you got all these comments back in the back of your head, you're thinking, I don't even know if this is gonna air? Is that what you're telling me?
Yep. Oh yeah. And then when they told me it was gonna air, I had a watch party with my friends, and it turns out I wasn't on the episode. They told me I was gonna be on the episode, and then like 3 hours before, or like 4 hours before it was gonna air, they said that I'm not gonna. So I had a watch party where they said they weren't even gonna show me.
Did you think it was happening all over again? It was gonna happen all over again. You weren't gonna be on. Oh
yep.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was gonna have a watch party, right?
Yeah.
Because they told me that I was gonna be on this episode, over the summer, and then I got some friends together, and then it turns out that I wasn't gonna be on the episode. They did a last minute edit, so then it became a you don't have to watch party. So we had it on in the background, but we didn't have to watch. That was the point. We're going to leave it on, but we can talk and do other things. So it was a you don't have to watch party.
So then you are on, right? Then eventually you were on?
Yeah. Rather than let me know a week in advance, they let me know 4 hours before I was going to be on.
Well, that's good. Then you can't plan a party.
Yeah, right.
But you wanted the party. You wanted the watch party.
No, I didn't. I don't know. It was just a couple of close friends. That's all it was. It wasn't anything big.
All right. But then there was the Judge Cuts performance, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that one didn't go so well.
So I don't know if you know this. When they record these things, you know, they have you there for a week. So I was wearing the same clothes for a week. You change in and out of them to make it look like the same day.
No way. I didn't know that.
Yeah, man, stop thinking these things are real. Also, they have me walking down a street writing jokes. If it's supposed to be in New York that I'm walking down, why are there no cars and people? Okay, that's a television set. Just notice that. If they're like, the streets of New York, and there's no humans, that's not New York. No. I don't know if you've ever been to New York.
I have.
That's not right. No, a lot of the people there are great that worked on the show, but really what happens is that everything's made up and the points don't matter. So what happened is, on the day that I was finally supposed to perform, they had me go 18 out of 20, number 18 out of 20 that day. And by the time I went on stage, it was 11:30 p.m., and the audience had gotten there around 6, 6:30. So have you ever been in an audience for 5 hours, Michael?
I have not, but I can imagine.
Do you know what you are by 5 hours? Angry, tired, confused. You have to pee. You know, it's just bored, whatever it may be. So you're not ready for a smart joke. You're not ready for, you know, in between every act, they're having somebody come out and throw out t-shirts. So you're just wooing and cheering. But after 5 hours, you're not your top intellectual self. Okay. That nobody is.
Right.
Because you've just been sitting there so long, your legs are falling asleep, whatever it may be. So by the time I get out there, you know, the energy is not exactly the same to hear a joke that's going to be a little bit more interactive or a little bit less punchline-y. But the audience ended up laughing at it. I got them to make the noise that I was talking about, and they cut out, like, so they turned, this is actually a big part in my life when this show happened, because they took like a 3-minute bit and cut it down to like 37 seconds, cutting out most, if not all, of my punchlines, making me sound like a fool.
Yeah.
And like I've been touring and performing nonstop for the last 8-9 years. And, you know, one thing that characterizes my work is that I always make it work. Okay. We could be in a cafeteria with no microphone, a 1-foot stage, 20 people, and I make it be the best show that it can possibly be for that, because that's all you can do.
You always bring them around, even if they don't start out. You've always bring them around.
Yeah.
I've seen videos of your different performances with this bit about it's the bit for the audience, for my listener, is basically the noises that women make for desserts, right? That they don't make for their man.
Yeah. And you know what? I even since then, my verbiage has changed and evolved with time. That basically my point is that when you go out with somebody and you end up realizing that they're more excited for the food or they're dating the dessert, you know, nobody says, oh my God, I need you inside me right now to me, but they will definitely say that to the cheesecake in front of them. Like, where have you been in my life? Like, check that out. You know what I mean? That's not what's said when I sit down at the table. That's the point of the joke. Okay. And then I get the audience to make a noise for food. And I realize everyone, it's not just women, men make noises for food. Everyone reacts to it, and it's fun.
Yeah.
I do say that the reason why I specifically bring about ladies when I'm talking about this is because ladies are really good at, like, so one thing I don't like is the amount of slut shaming that we do in this country, where we kind of act like women should not be sexual, and that if they act in the same way men do, then we should judge them or they should feel bad, because it's foolish to think that only men are horny. Women are just as horny. I just say that they're twice as sneaky, though, because we don't know. Like, you never know when a girl's checking anyone out. You never know if you've ever been checked out by a girl. I have no idea if a girl's ever checked me out. I don't know.
But we stare.
A girl could check out 97. Yeah. Oh, because we don't know what our faces are doing. Like, we see somebody hot and we're like, huh? And we just get blank face as we glare over there. I bring about, like, ladies are twice as horny but four times as sneaky, right? That's what I like to say.
Nice.
And they can hide the horny, but the one time the horny spills over is at dinner, or when the right dessert comes about. So you could check out me. A girl could check out you, Michael. They could check me out, say nothing, and then all of a sudden they're really hungry, and then they get like a 10-piece chicken nugget in front of them, and it's like, oh my God, yes, what is happening here inside me? You know what I mean? So
I loved who was the celebrity guest they had on? Was it Reba McEntire?
Reba, yeah. And I was like, Reba, do you have a favorite food, right? And she's like, no. And I was like, Reba, you're a freaking country music star for the TV show Reba, where you played an amazing, inspirational mom who was like in charge of everyone. You tell me you don't have a favorite dessert, Reba. You don't have a dessert. I'm sorry. You're literally Colonel Sanders right now. Okay. You know food. You like food. You have a favorite food or dessert. But you know what? It's not even her fault. She was there for 4 or 5 hours too. Everyone was tired.
Yeah.
You know? And what they did was they had to, there were so many children in my judge cuts, they had to have all the kids go first because the laws don't allow you to have children perform after a certain time. Maybe it's like 9:30 or 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. or something like that.
So they got to go and then go home and you're sitting around the whole time.
Oh my God. Yeah. And then like some of them were really awesome, but their entire stage setup takes like 25 minutes. Like there's one kid that was doing magic and his father helped design a set for him, but that took like 45 minutes.
Wow.
Just to like get the whole set out there and everything. Yeah. Wow. So I guess what I have to say for the listeners is this. If you see something good and inspirational and you like the individuals you see on these shows, please enjoy them, support them. If you see something not go as well or they're a little harsh on somebody, recognize that it's not as bad as they made it look, or they could be set up. I mean, anytime any TV show has a judge go, I don't know about that song choice. Guess what? The producers chose that song.
Right.
Okay. You give them 6 different options that you want to do, and then they pick which one you do. So if they ever go, I don't really know if that's a good song choice. Well, the producers chose it. Sometimes they choose bad ones on purpose to make the people not look that good. So just have understanding for all the people involved in these sorts of shows and things. Also, everything's made up and the points don't matter.
So if somebody asked you for your advice, would you advise that they do the show or not?
I would say try and measure if it would be positive towards your career. And I would say it can be a worthwhile experience. And I don't think that they are intentionally bad people. I just think that reality TV doesn't care as much about the individual pieces and people that they use to get the product that they desire. Just recognize that you're a part of that. And you know, that actually, so I'm somebody that I've been doing great for the last year or so, but I'm somebody that deals with depression and anxiety, and that definitely did not help with that. You know, leading up to that performance that we're talking about, Michael, mm-hmm. I did 90 colleges in 4 months.
Wow.
So I did auditions and judge cuts and 90 colleges and 3 conferences in 4 months. All the shows, all the conferences went great. The only bad show that I had that entire half a year was that one where I went on at 11:30 p.m. and they cut out all the punchlines and then everyone seemed kind of tired. And that's what millions of people see. I was so upset afterwards. I had to go cry. And they tried to like, and then they have a psychologist come over because, you know, they kind of destroy people sometimes. Then they tried to film the psychiatrist talking to me.
No way.
I was like, are you kidding me? Oh. Yeah, yeah. And then I go into the bathroom.
This could be good footage.
Yeah. Hey, talk to our psychologist because I understand this is a very traumatic event that just happened.
Oh,
also, we're going to film it. I was like, are you kidding me? Get that away from me. So I went in the bathroom and like closed the door.
Oh, man. All right. Let's jump to that.
It's a great show. I mean, look, there's a lot of great people out there. It's made of, I don't know. You knew a kid was going to win, by the way, because they had MasterChef Junior. They had So You Think You Dance Kids. And while we were there, the producers were all talking like, oh, this is the year of the kid. And then that little girl won. Like they planned this. They wanted a child to go far and win because that ended up being what the market was that summer.
I never understood how they could even have kid acts because the whole thing is an act in Vegas. There's no, yeah. How many kid acts are there in Vegas? Who goes to Vegas to see a kid act?
Awesome. Hey, I could see some. Kids Bop, the musical, whatever. Sounds great. My point being, yeah, I know. Like, she's the girl that won. She's very talented. But, like, you're going to watch an 11-year-old do an hour plus of music, but they have school and they have to be a child. Right. You know? It's not.
All right. Let's talk about something in the news. Let's change the topic.
Let's talk about something happier, Michael. Let's just talk about tariffs. What else should we talk about, huh? What do we want to talk about?
You want to talk about Russia? You want to talk about Russia?
We're at a point in this country, Michael, where somebody said, hey, I think our president had an affair with a Playboy model. And we're like, so what? At least it's not a porn star. That's where we're at, Michael. That's where we're at. Everyone just brushed the Playboy affair under the rug because we're still trying to figure out if the porn star affair happened.
All right, don't get me
started. That's where we're at.
Don't get me started. Let's talk about something else.
There was a news. Can I? No, you need to hear this.
All right, go ahead.
When Barack Obama was president, Fox News ran a story for like half a day, and it was about Barack Obama using Grey Poupon mustard because that's a fancy mustard, and can he really be a man of the people if he uses fancy mustard? That was a thing.
What about the one about the color of his suit?
The cut of his suit?
The color of his suit. He wore like a beige or a tan suit or something like that, and they had a maybe it was a day long conniption. About his suit.
And then our president straight up says he doesn't like does all these things against immigrants, and then has his first lady be an immigrant, and possibly her parents might have used chain migration, like chain immigration. What you talk out against chain migration?
There's fine people on both sides. All right.
God. No, there aren't. There's look. The way I see the spectrum is this: there's the empathetic side of the political spectrum. And then there's the side that thinks that those with more deserve to have more and those with less always deserve to have less. And that no matter how you get what you have, it doesn't quite matter how you get what you have. And it doesn't have to be an even playing field. Those are the ways I see them. And I try to lean and get people to choose empathy and understanding that we're not all born in the same situation.
I was raised to be fair and kind and just some of the stuff. I know politicians, both Democrat and Republican, are both. There's a lot of people that are evil and want to just, you know, make their money. But man, what's going on the Republican side right now is just crazy. Just crazy.
Yeah.
It's not fair or kind. It's not fair or kind.
I mean, taking away the DACA agreement so that you can use it as a bargaining chip. So having all these young individuals that are in this country wonder and worry about if they can stay in this country that they've been in since a child because what? As a bargaining chip for a border wall that's not quite necessary? I don't know. That upsets me. But what was something else in the news you wanted to talk about? That's nice.
Well, this actually goes hand in hand, mental health issues. So you have a campaign, Say It Anyway, hashtag Say It Anyway. Tell me what that campaign's about.
I use the mantra Say It Anyway with this purpose. There's a little voice in your head that tells you not to actually talk about what you're going through and to not talk about your personal experiences and to not share your mental health and what you may be going through. And I want you to say it anyway, because what happens is in our own minds, we tend to feel remote. We tend to feel that other people don't experience what we're experiencing because you can only see so much. That's why I have kind of, I always tell people to be aware of reality TV and social media, because social media is great. But if you see somebody smiling and in a field and having the best hair and the best photos and the most amazing life all the time, you're going to start to compare yourself to that. You're going to start to judge if what you're doing is worthwhile or if you are good enough or these other people don't have issues. Look at them. Well, that's not true. Okay. You're only seeing the curated parts. You're seeing the edited parts. You're not really viewing the day to day. You're not seeing, sometimes people that post the most are the people going through the hardest time, and it's just not visible. So I want people to say it anyway, because when you talk, you can learn that people will generally understand and be empathetic towards you, and that you're not alone. So if anybody out there is going through something, if you're going through PTSD, depression, anxiety, if you're somebody who cuts, if you have obsessive compulsive disorder, if you have bipolar disorder, just don't be afraid to talk about it, because what you're going through, I promise you, you're not the only person. 17%, I think it's like 17% of Americans have a prescription for an antidepressant. That's like 50 million Americans. So what you're experiencing, no matter what it is normal. I'm not saying it's good, but it's normal. Okay. You're not weird or wrong for dealing with something. It's actually very human and normal to deal with something. So I want people to talk about it. And it's really for the effort of suicide prevention, but also awareness of counseling services, awareness of just human and group support of one another.
So when you're at your college shows, you talk about this?
Yeah. So some colleges bring me in to specifically do a mental health lecture, mm-hmm. but a lot of times I'm booked for comedy. And when I do my comedy, I'll just do a little 5-minute thing about it anyway, the importance of that, maybe, you know, a few tips, advice on how to start talking to your friends about something or about how to not feel so alone in this world. And then I just go back to comedy because that's what we are as people. We're all everything. We're happy, sad, confused, anxious. We're every emotion. So it's okay to take something that's really funny and then, you know, weave in something serious and then bring it back to funny. I like doing that.
So we're about a month removed from the Parkland High School shooting, right?
Yeah.
Speculations are the suspected perpetrator had mental issues, right? So what would you say? What would you say to somebody in his position today that is thinking about doing something similar?
Don't. Don't. Don't.
That's a good start. Okay.
What's very interesting is that I think I was watching something and it showed the mass shootings in the United States over the last couple of decades. It was like not everyone would be considered to have a mental illness. It was something like between 20 and 25% would be more diagnosed mental illness. Now, a lot of these things are undiagnosed and a lot of these things are hate or lack of empathy or a bit of sociopathic tendencies. But I guess what I would say to that individual is just, it doesn't need to happen that way. And you're not alone in feeling like you might be left out or being upset or thinking that you're marginalized. Because I mean, this individual, I think, wasn't it that they also had a lot of hate speech against, I don't know, different races, religions. They pretty much hated like anybody gay or probably hated anybody religious or female or I don't know. Right. It was a lot of hate speech going
liberal.
On, right. Yeah. And I think that may have brooded further on the hate speech that happens on the internet. And I just wish, you know, maybe somebody could have helped this individual or been a positive influence in their life. But also that's why, in Florida, they were maybe potentially passing a bill that has teachers can carry guns if they go through like 140 hours of training and they get get certifications each year. And then I kind of go, why not just have everyone do that? Like I had to do a driving test and I had to do lots of hours of practice before I could drive a car.
Right.
Which is a deadly weapon. So I think there should just be training. I think the age should be 21 and I think there should be training for any firearm in order to have one. Because if you want to have one and you want to be serious about it, then be informed and make it a requirement. Then people will do it. You gotta take a test before you get a motorcycle's license. You gotta do that before a driver's license. Okay, but I think any sort of operation of a motor vehicle or anything deadly should have come with training.
Agreed. And teachers don't want to bring guns to school. My wife's a teacher.
Yeah, my dad, my sister, and my mom. Yeah, no, nobody wants. No. That's not a solution. Also, like students couldn't figure out how to get into a teacher's desk.
Right.
Like, are you kidding? What?
Let's have guns in the school. Awesome. These,
I had teachers that would write on whiteboards with permanent marker. You know what I'm talking about? Like, and you're like, it. They're great, but I'm just saying, like, what?
Yeah, and the teachers that would sign up to carry a gun, those are the ones you don't want.
Those are the ones you don't want to have a gun.
No.
No.
No, not you.
Mr. McMurray, who can't say the word penis in health class, wants to have a gun. You're like, why are you teaching health class then? I understand that you want a PE, and in order to stay on staff, you had to take on one of these, but like, please be able to use the actual terms, like penis and vagina.
Calls it the you're down there things.
Mm-hmm. The no-no zone.
All right, that's awesome, man. That's a good cause. So something I didn't tell you in the pre-interview is I quiz my guests. I have a quiz for you. Are you ready?
Also, I really hope people know that I am genuinely funny. I just get serious sometimes. I get serious because these things matter. I think it's because I don't have kids yet.
Yeah.
I just turned 30 and I don't have kids. So now I like care about stuff. I mean, if I had kids, I would still care about stuff, but I meant like I have this energy that could be used, like being a dad is now like, we got to make sure that we help people that are born with less. I think it's just kind of like that, you know, some people, they get older and they don't have any kids. They end up having like a bunch of cats. Now my energy is like, kind of like towards that.
Is that you going to be you?
Huh?
You're going to be a cat guy?
I like pet. No, I'm not going to buy.
You're going to be the guy equivalent of a cat lady? Is that what you're going to be?
I'm not going to buy a pet that hates me. Okay. That's not the point. You're going to buy a pet, get a dog because it likes you. Also, if you ask anybody that likes their cat, you'll be like, does anyone have a good cat? Oh, this is my show. Does anyone have a good cat? They'll be like, yeah. I'm like, so it likes people. It likes to be pet, enjoys being around people. It's excited to see you. Yeah. What does your cat act like? A dog? Then get a dog. Okay. Good cats are dogs.
All right. The quiz. Focus.
Yeah.
So I like to see how smart my guests are. Touring colleges, you gotta be a smart guy.
Yeah.
This is the college mascot edition.
Okay.
How do you feel about that? These are colleges you'll be visiting soon.
Oh, you're saying the mascot of the colleges I'll be visiting. Oh, okay. All right. I should know this. There are some funny ones out there, man.
These I tried not to go too crazy. Let's start out with the University of Tampa. Have you been there before?
You know, I've not been to UT yet.
Okay. All right. Can you guess?
Is this multiple choice? Or is this
You wish. No.
True or false? University of Tampa.
All right. I got hints. Purple? I got hints here if you want a hint.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you asking for a hint?
Yeah.
Okay. University of Tampa. The hint is a citizen of Sparta in ancient Greece.
Trojans.
Oh, no. Dude. It's in the sentence.
The Helens of Troy.
A citizen of Sparta in ancient Greece.
The University of Tampa Bay. The University of Tampa Sparks, that alcoholic drink.
The
No, it's Sparta. That's why I said
women's
Trojans.
Basketball team.
It's Spartans.
Spartans. Oh, that's why you said Trojans?
Yes.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Oh, dude, come on.
You are.
You wanted to know how intelligent we're going to be.
That's deep. That was deep. All right.
You just thought I messed that up on purpose? Like, I'm sorry. You just thought I really messed that up?
Are you playing three-dimensional chess? Is that what you're doing?
I feel like most chess has three. Like, I don't know. Have you played it?
Does,
like,
right?
The pieces. And yeah. Okay. All right. I was like, I don't know what kind of chess you're doing.
Utah State.
I feel like they're red. Whatever they are, that's their color. And then they're the Waves. No, they're the Utah State. Because the University of Utah is the Utes. Utah State Minutemen. No, I don't know. Miners.
A short way for saying agriculturist.
The Aggies?
Boom. Yes.
Oh, they're Aggies.
You had to take the hints on both of these. That's not good. All right, University of Idaho.
Broncos.
No. That's Colorado, isn't it?
What? No, they're not Broncos?
No.
University of Idaho.
Person who deliberately destroys or damages public or private property.
Hooligans?
Close.
Wait. Vandals?
Yes, there it is. I was gonna say
they're vandals.
They're vandals.
That's the actual name, really?
Yeah, but they say they play defense with such ferocity they vandalize their opponents.
That's okay. Cool.
They don't use the other. They don't use the real definition. No.
Yeah, the vandals. Like it just. I don't. We spray paint the other team's buildings. Okay. Cool.
I know you're in and out of LA, but do you play any colleges in Southern California area? Do you perform at here at all, or?
You know, I don't do a lot of colleges in Southern California because they. I tend to do a lot of places that could use entertainment.
Yeah.
So when you're in like Southern Cali, you don't need entertainment. UCLA, like all of a sudden, just DJ Khaled just shows up. He's like, "You want to do a show?" You know what I mean? It's like I go to Utah and Idaho because they need entertainment out there.
Yeah.
I love North Dakota. I was just in Montana. These places need entertainment, so I go there.
Wisconsin.
Yeah, I know that. See, it's funny because I do know some college sports, but those teams are just not ones that I know. because I grew up in the Midwest, so I tend to know like Midwest and East Coast stuff.
I love to dream, Adam. Do you love to dream?
No, my dreams are stressful. But the thing is, at least when I wake up, I say my life is better than my dreams. So
I dream of a day where I could wear my favorite jokes.
Oh yeah. No, dude,
is that day coming? Is that day coming soon? Is that day already passed?
Yo, I have 3 new shirts.
Tell my listener what you do. What you do.
So I'm a comedian and
with the shirts.
Oh. Well, sometimes what I do is I will give out shirts to the people that book me so that they can wear them on the day of the event to help promote it. So that is the purpose of the t-shirts that I have. Oh. So I have a new t-shirt. Yeah, I have a t-shirt that's a baseball tee and it says hashtag man booty matters. And then on the lower back, it has a shape of, it says hashtag man booty matters, but in the shape of like a booty. Because guys, don't skip leg day at the gym. Girls are checking out your butts. That's why baseball exists as a sport. Nice. The game is boring. It's terrible. Nobody likes to watch it, but people like looking at man booty. So don't skip leg day. Also, that's a baseball tee, and it's a joke about it. So it's a 2-for-1. I also have a heathered purple t-shirt that says, it's fine, I'm fine. And then on the back, it says, it's not fine, through glasses. So clearly it's not fine. Because I feel like that's most people's approach to the current administration, to life, to dealing with stress, to work, to school. It's fine, I'm fine. But also it's referring to the whole conundrum when potentially a female may be upset about something but doesn't want to tell you that they're upset, but then wants you to know that they're still upset, but then don't know that, like, know that they're upset, and then, like, keep asking, like, ask them again what's wrong, but then also don't keep bugging them with questions, and then, like, give them space but don't leave. You know what I mean? It's called the it's fine, I'm fine phenomena. But, yeah, I love that shirt. So I have that one now, too. And then I got a couple of them that say, I've got whoses and what's its galore, references Little Mermaid, or food perv for all those people that make noises for food. Out there.
That's a great joke.
The audience members that made the noise that I was hoping that they would, and they did, and then they cut it out of my footage. Those people. Yeah. So I don't know. I really like the shirts. And then one shirt has a taco on the front and bacon on the lower back. And you would have to see my show to understand that one.
Where can people find where you're going to be performing next?
Yeah. It's on my website, adamgrabowski.com. adamgrabowski.com/tours. Slash tour, sorry. So just click on my website and it'll be on there. And yeah, I'm going to plug one thing that I have coming up that'll be really special. It's at the end of June. It is the NAMI conference, NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness. And they have a national convention in New Orleans, Louisiana, at the end of June, the last weekend in June. And I'm going to be performing there and then also doing a panel or two on some subject matters, potentially the influence of social media on mental health or the evolutionary biology behind emotions. But I wanted to give a shout out in general to the group NAMI and to Active Minds. If you're on a college campus or you are just in a community and you know people or are somebody who, you know, mental illness and mental health is important to you, look for NAMI or Active Minds. They're popping up all over the place and they're two great organizations. So this is just the warm-up, right? When are we going to do the interview? Trojans!
Well, this is where I wish you well, and thank you for your time, Adam.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. It was great.
You can get all the details and links about comedian Adam Grabowski in your show notes.
Yes.
Music has always been important to me. Whether I'm moshing or just headbanging, I like listening to a lot of different music. I thought I'd let artists and bands submit their music to the podcast of thousands, and we'd showcase it for them in each episode. Here's a song called Fabric by the rock band The Extended Play, who are from Fayetteville, New York. First, a couple of musical notes about The Extended Play. They're a songwriting project under the vision of Frank Hognak, with the great assistance of Leo McCluskey and Mike Taroli. Also, TEP was created for the reason of writing songs to remember the melody of it all. I picked this song from The Extended Play because of the melody of it all. Duh. If you like it, you can get all the information you need about The Extended Play in your show notes. Enjoy.
take flight into an eastern sky. Get away, whatever way. Here tonight, thought I would be on my own. I'm in town, dressing down, because the signs are tipping me over the line.
You've been listening to the Podcast of Thousands. If you're a performer and want to be on our show, check us out at www.podcastofthousands.com and click on Get On. Since you're already online, check us out on Apple Podcasts. Make sure to rate us 5 stars or higher and leave us your comments. You can find all the details in our show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and to all you performers out there, break a leg.